Okay, we're going to discuss it in the Hema Sambhava. And as I say, this is quite a bigger topic, but we just want to hit some of the basic issues, this feedback. Can everybody hear okay? Should I maybe be slower? Or is it slower? Okay, we'll manage it. So basically, what we began with, there seem to be three shitos, three main shitos, in understanding what the Hema Sanyuna really is. No, I'm not one of the three. Yeah. And of course, depending on which of these are correct, that will obviously determine what the stakes are we're really dealing with. And again, what we're comparing to and what lessons we can extract from this process. Okay. So according to Rabbi Nachman,
might be the computer.
Okay, so if we're dealing with shutfas, just to make it clear, we are, on the one hand, dealing with a known quantity, because shutfas is, something which is, ubiquitous across the halakhic system. Of course, the status of shutfas, we're not going to discuss extensively now, is itself, by the time you can hear me, or not? Like this? Right? Fun things happen in Memphis all the time, but nothing is good with this. I share his eyebrows here. Okay, so we'll try. Let's see. So, as I said, if you're dealing with shift, just you're dealing with something that is ubiquitous, but of course is not that I'm thinking that should have stayed on Zoom. Right? Although it is good to see you back in close proximity. Seems fine. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Okay. So, of course, shutfas has its own challenges, and the status of shutfas in various areas of halakha. But, of course, if we're talking about the categories of any ownership as opposed to exclusive ownership, there are huge differences. First of all, different types of shutfios, the shutfios, the shutfas. That's of course one issue, and then of course the other issue, as I say, is what you require in different areas of halakha. That of course is very relevant to the question of isa and bechor. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
As well. Not sure. Okay, we'll do the best we can. So even if we're dealing with shutfas, the possibility of investigating, whether or not what's required in Bechor or what's posel in Bechor, in terms of the involvement of a non-Jew, that becomes something to look at through that, from that vantage point. On the other hand, if we're dealing with shibudim, so, or a mass, or a percentage, somewhere you have like a right to take something, but you don't really have a partnership in it, which is kind of the view of Rashi, Balitosis, and many other Rishonim. So then we're dealing with a whole different category. And it's not just a question of what type of subcategory you're dealing with. The category itself becomes, part of the top, as I said before. So, the question of l'mafreya, mikan l'haba, the question of, who, gets the shevach. Let's say there's a situation of Gevi'a, Menachas, and Mishabadim, so in the beginning of, towards the beginning of Bava Metzia, like Tazayim, in Shai Moksin, you know, who is the Bailin with regard to, let's say, natural growth or improvement, like in the Karka? That's parallel kind of to the question of Mikan al-Habal, Mafreya, not identical with it, but parallel to it. But, you know, part of this general question of, like, who's the real Bailin, or what to what extent is there real Bailus when you have Shibudu. If we're dealing with the third possibility, the Rajva's possibility, so then that is something which is very, in some respects, more amorphous. Because on the one hand, it's more than a Shibud, in that, you know, we're dealing with Su'udas HaMelech, or whatever we call it, something which is specifically dedicated to the non-Jew. And fully, it's not shared, it's not a right that he has, you know, to grab from someone else, or to take away, or to confiscate. It's really something that belongs to him. But at the same time, he, you know, it didn't come from him, and it doesn't have, you know, legal percentage in it. It's not as if he's a partner in it. He never owned it, you know, in advance. It's a collection that's made and a presentation to him. And as such, it's both more and less than Shibudim, and it doesn't really have, unlike Shutfas in its way, and unlike Shibudim in its way, this idea of Su'udas HaMelech doesn't really have a parallel, right, in other areas, you know, of Halach. I'm not saying you can't have a parallel, but I'm saying it's not a, like a known category. So, plugging in Dinei Shutfas or plugging in Dinei Shibud is something that is doable if you're testing, like, what is Arnuna and, you know, what should be its status for Challah and for Bechor. But if you're dealing with Su'udas HaMelech, then mostly you're dealing with something which is unique. It's both, as I say, more and less than the Shibud. Okay. So having said that, again, if we're dealing with Shutfas, you get into all the, not only the status of Shutfas of Kol Torah Kula, which of course is relevant, but also the Makoros of Shutfas, you know, vis-a-vis Bechor and Challah, like in a very specific way. And that's where you have the Sugya in the beginning of Bechoros. Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. Now I don't think this is working here, right? It's not. Yeah. Okay. The Sugya in the beginning of Bechoros. And of course also the conflicts that it generates, because Upaskin, it seems like Upaskin like the Chachamim, so for the whole discussion in our Sugya is problematic, unless you say that is the Psak and that is the Makokas. And parallel, the same thing with regard to Chal, right? You have the Mishnah in Challah, Paragil Mishnah. The Mishnah seems explicitly to be Mechalek between Yeshlo and Ein Lo Shiur. So you should just be able to plug that in. How does, you know, Shutfas, if you have Manushak, if you have the Shiur, so then should be Chayim Mechalek, according to everybody. Unless you say that our Sugyas is because of Kol, which is the view of quite a few of the Rishonim, but at least fundamentally. And if you have less than the Shir Challah for the Tzad Shutfas of Israel, then you should have the opposite conclusion. Again, unless you say that the factor of Kol, Midrabanan, like upsets that equation. And that basically, in short form, without going into so much detail, is the discussion that we find in the Rash, in the Sefer Truma, and some of the Rishonim here al Atar, right? How to square Arnuna with the sugya in Chulin and the sugya in Masechet Chala, and of course a little bit with the sugya in the beginning of Bechoros, if indeed we're dealing with Shabbos. And that's all under the rubric of Rabbeinu Chanan. But even if you take the view that Arnuna is not Shabbos, right, the very fact, when you take a step back and you look at the objective evidence, is what we left off with yesterday. The fact is that when it comes to Shudfas, whether that is or isn't Arnuna, there does seem to be conflicting signals. But it seems like when it comes to Chala, that the signals are that you're Chayav the Chala, especially if you have Kashir. Maybe there's even a Havamina that you would be Chayav the Chala in conjunction with an Akum, that's another extreme. Whereas when it comes to Bechor, it seems that Lahalacha at least, that we take the view that you are Potter. And the question is, why is that? So whether this is Arnuna or whether this is Shutfus, it's a phenomenon that needs to be addressed, and especially because in our Sugya, we do compare Behema Sarnuna and Chala Sarnuna. So, comparing it when it comes to applying other issues, right, like Shutfas or Shibudim, you know, becomes also just a very, you know, kind of natural issue. And a way also of assessing the relationship between them. So again, the pashtus of our Gemara, Girsos aside, is that Chala and Bechor are the same. There are some Girsos, even in our Gemara, that are Mechalik. I'm not going to, since it's late, and I don't want to go too long today, especially without the mic. So to say, if you look at the, you know, Rishonim al Adar, Tosas, especially Tosas Shabbos, and name of the Rajba, the Rash in Chala, that we a little bit read yesterday. Right, if you look at these Makoros, it's clear that there, you know, the whole range of Girsos, even in our Sugya. You know, whether Mechalik regarding Chayav Patur, or Matzim Salik Bezuzeh, or Matzim Salik Bezuzeh, most of them go in the direction of Bechor being Pator and Chala being Chai. But the Tosas Rash Mishans, that's what he's kind of alluding to in Chala as well, you know, has the Girsa, has quotes the Girsa Sarajban, but it's actually the opposite. Anybody have that open? The opposite Girsa, that we say that Isa Sarnuna is Pator, and Chala Sarnuna, I'm sorry, Isa Sarnuna is Pator, and Bechora Sarnuna is Chai. Is that right, Yonatan?
Yeah.
I put you on the mic, but it doesn't work. Yeah. Go ahead.
can I be heard?
Just I'm going to make you louder on my computer. My computer works better than Yeshiva University technology. Go ahead.
Okay, so he starts off by saying that Tanya Chayavis, Hever Shirashi, Begabe Isa Tanya, so we're teaching her in Isa, Behekshe Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Behedya, Tanya, the Tosetta, the Hemas Arnuna Chayavis, the Bechora. So he says the Hemas Arnuna is Chayavis, the Bechora. And there's a whole bracket thing that Im Kain, Kasha, the Hirusha, the Perish the ill gabe isa tanya chayavis. So this is challenged because this would mean that you would have a chiyav regarding isa. Lachin yira the halfi garcina behemas arnuna chayavis bechora. So we would seem to think that behemas arnuna has a chiyav with the bechora. But afal gab the lo masi nesalik le isas arnuna pitura min achala. Afagav the mati masalik lay. My time a high is lay kala. So despite the fact that you wouldn't be able to be masalik the Yisus Arnona, you still have an exemption from chala. And this is even though mati masalik begs the question of how does this work if you have a kula.
Okay. So again, you have this opposite girsa, even though in the pashtus argument are most shown, is that behemas pater and isas chayavis in one form or another, correct? But that other gear, so it goes exactly the opposite. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So, just to take a step back for a moment, to try to figure out what is the reason, or what would be the, let's say the dominant view, to distinguish between behema and isa. Okay? Again, if it's midin kala, I see Ellie's with us. Exactly at 2 o'clock, wow. If it's midin kala, and it's a din drabanan, so, you know, that's certainly sufficient explanation. It doesn't illuminate the bigger categories of kala. With kala and b'chor. However, if we also have this distinction with regard to shuchvas, where we don't seem to have the excuse of kol, it's food for thought. Why are we distinguishing between these two categories when the parallel between them seems very strong? So I think that, I don't know if it was Ellie or somebody mentioned yesterday, that maybe you can make the distinction between the fact that behema is a single kafza, while isa is something which is divisible. Who mentioned that yesterday? Was it Ellie? Was Ellie. Okay, good. I'm glad I'm giving you proper credit. So where does that come from, Ellie? From the Siddur Beit Zadav Chaf Aleph. Right? What is that?
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to look at that sugi inside.
Well, where did you see it? You saw it mentioned by the Rishonim, though.
Not Miri? Specifically.
You came up with it on your own.
I don't recall seeing it inside anywhere.
Okay, great. So that's the Sefer Mechta makes reference to it, and the Meiri makes reference to it. The Mechtan, which is earlier, says, Isa Sarnuna Chayetz Bechala. Is not working at all at this point? Or it's working a little? That's why they're trying to bother me here. Isa Sarnuna Chayetz Bechala. Afilo Ein Bechelkal She Yisrael She Yochala. Hila Bekula Umchela Kanachri. So the Mechtam says that the case is a case where there's no Chelik Yisrael, no Shir of Chelik Yisrael. Because if it was, then that would be the Mishnah and Chala, which says that you're Chayim. So it wouldn't be, you know, separate issue here. V'hainu d'layayiv taima d'chiyiv isa mishum d'efsha l'mitvagay b'lisha k'd'avid hasa b'yomtav. Exactly what Eli was suggesting. Since the only reason that the Gemara doesn't make the distinction here in Beitza, what's the sugya in Beitza? Anybody know? On Chaf Aleph? Asher? Familiar? If you shecht an animal on Yantiv, which is b'shufas of a Jew and a non-Jew, right? That's being contrasted with baking something, you know, with dough that belongs to a Jew or a non-Jew. It's probably the single worst thing I could do. So what's the distinction? So the Gemara says, because when it comes to the animal, right, it's indivisible, and therefore you can see it as Hetero Hamefesh, because you're doing it with Shem Yisrael. The, you know, the Shem Nakri part you know, is just nigra, you know, agav, illustrating the soul part. However, when it comes to the isa, again, you may be, you know, kneading it, baking it, you know, in this way, but you don't have to. So the point is that we look at it, in the case of we don't look at it as agav and nigrar, we look at it as that you're doing two things at the same time. Right? And part of your maisa afia doesn't have the heter, ochel nefesh, which is associated with l'shem Yisrael. So that same distinction, you might say, about the question of isas versus bechoras, either arnuna or shutfas, right? What you might say is that, you know, when it comes to isa, it's divisible, and therefore, again, since, you know, in the case in Beitza, right? You know, it can go in either direction, depending on how you understand it. But the point here would be that you know, the Chelek Yisrael is Koveya, you know, and Yochai, because it's divisible. But in the case of Bechor, since there's Yad Akum Be'emtza that is indivisible, that taints or defines the totality of what you're doing. So that's one distinction that could be used here. And the Michtar basically saying that the only reason, and the Miri, that the only reason that we don't make that distinction in our sugya is because, for other reasons, to square it with the Mishnah and Chalav, we already know that we're dealing with a situation of Ein Lo Shiur Chiyuv Shel Yisrael. Right? Otherwise, we would say this Chiyuv. Okay? So that's basically the Michtam and the Me'ir. The Rajba in a Tshuva, which we're going to read inside in a minute, I'll have one of you read it, makes another suggestion in a different context, but something to think about. And that is that when it comes to challah, for better or for worse, there is a shaschi, or a particular shaschi, an identifiable shaschi. And that is, you know, pretty much Gilgo Ha'is. I mean, there are various, you know, stages. We're not going to get into that right now. But, you know, starting from like Nesinas Kemach B'Tel Chamayim, which counts for something. That's kind of what the Rajba refers to in Piskei Challah too. But mostly Gilgul or Lisha, Gilgul Isra Lisha is the Shaski. So if at the Shaski there's no Nikar, or it's not Ivrar, to use the language of the Rajba, that this Chelek Nachring, right, it's not clear that he's going to, you know, be the one to take it. So then, you know, his connection, his participation, is not going to be posel. However, when it comes to Bechor, right, there is no critical moment, right, and therefore, the potential, let's say, all along the way, is something which is, you know, more pervasive and more problematic. So what I'm trying to suggest is, in addition to call and not call, if you want to take a step back and you are convinced that whether it's shutras or shibud or arnuna in the understanding of the Rajpa, that there are discrepancies that go beyond call, or maybe that are reflected by call, between isas and bechoras, arnuna, and the explanation could be attributed to these two other factors. Okay? One is the divisibility of it, and the other is the nature of the process, and the zmanachim, and the maisa mechayim, etc. But there is, of course, a third possibility, and that is the one which is probably most compelling. And that is? Zev? What's that? You can't hear me. It's hard to hear. Okay. So, yeah. And I can't speak louder, so. As it is on the screen here a little bit. So, okay, we'll just have to get this fixed because it's kind of ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying there is a third possibility, and that is that there is a difference between Isa and Bechor, but that the distinction is not just, you know, because of the way the Chiyuv works, because of the Chefzon question, but because of the role, let's say, of Yisrael and Nachri, right, in the Chiyuv itself. And that goes to the question, you know, again, parallel to what we've been discussing in other contexts, like Bayar Bayimatze, and like Chala itself between Nachri and Hektesh, right? The possible distinction between Bechor and Chala for Nachri, between needing Bailus Yisrael, right? And Bailus Nachri is not Bailus Yisrael, right? As opposed to Bailus Nachri being a mafkia or a poter, something that's posel. Oh, so the truth is that the Rajba kind of articulates this in his tshuva, although, you know, more, you know, on a, let's say, the application is more maybe drabana or less dramatic, but the basic yisod is something that he says. So let's get to that for a moment. Noach Yisod? Okay, so what's the whole Rajba tshuva about? Rajba has this view, which he also articulates in Piskei Chala, which, as we noted, is that Arnuna is what? Yisuda Samem. Yeah. And he partially proves that. Again, if you look at the Piskei Chala, right, it's Shar Sheini, Uz Gimel. He quotes Yerushalmi. Hikshub Yerushalmi Ma Beina, meaning the Mishnah in Chala, right, which says that they think it's from the beginning of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that if the, you know, dough comes from the Nachri, then you're potter. So the question is, you know, yeah, what's that to do with Arnuna? Ma Beino Lisas Arnuna, right? Because Isa Sanuna is Kai B'chala. And the Rishalmi answer is, what's the Rishalmi's answer? Yeah. Says, right. So are you reading Piskei Chala now?
No, I mean the Tshuva.
Oh, we'll get to Tshuva in a second. So just the Rajba says, when we come, Lamadnu, Isa Sanuna, I mean Isa Shalosin, La Rucha Schela Melech. Number one, there's no Shani Malek if it's Shutvas, right? Because if he's a Shutav, he's a Shutav. He has a Chelek. Right. The Ode. The Seifa is a case of Shutvas. The Reisha is not a case of Shutvas. Why do you ask from the Reisha to Arnuna? Okay, and then other things, you know, from there. So that's why he rejects Rabbeinu Chananel. In the Tshuva, he starts off, what did the Shoal say in the Tshuva? Anoach. The Shoal is assumed kind of Shutvas, right?
If you have a shira that's high in the palace, you'd be fired. But I don't know if I'm asking the shira, I'm sure you should have a shira.
Right, because again, there's a discrepancy. If you think that Behema Sarnuna means should this, so then there seems to be a steer. I'm sorry, this is Arnuna Shuddhas, Arnuna Shuddhas. So then there's a steer between our Sugya and the Mishnah and Kala, right? Unless you say that Kala, unless you neutralize Kala in the Mishnah, say, oh, it's not okay, there's no Kala problem. It's Noda Shiyesh Lagoy Shita Pitocha. So if that's the case, how come the Rambam, what are they blaming the Rambam for? Paskini like the Mishnah and Kala? I always get a kick out of it. You know, mostly we're upset with the Rambam when he doesn't paskin like the Mishnah or a Gemara. Like here they're complaining, you know, that he... Nice. If you firmly believe, with deep conviction, that the word that Arnuna is a shukvas, and if the only way to read our Gemara is to read it as a case where, you know, lo noda, and the Mishnah, therefore implicitly, becomes noda, then a good codifier should make reference to that. And if he doesn't, then, you know, he deserves to be criticized. Except it's based on a huge assumption, right? And that is that the Rambam and Arnuna as shuddhas, which isn't such a bad assumption, considering Rabbeinu Chananel did. And, you know, default, if you don't know, you know, it's fair to say that the Rambam is coming from the world of Rabbeinu Chananel, something which is actually quite typical. Either way, what's the Rajba's response? Before he gets to that. So number one, he says, he just calls him out on it. Right? Tshuva mitok tvarecha. So that's number one. Good. Right? But now, what about Rashi? Right? Keep going. It's a tax, right? Or a kind of shibud, or a tax, something like that. Right? That was Shemir Ali. Right. This is what I meant when I said that it is both, you know, more and less than shuddhas and shibud, right? Because it's more, because it's l'shem ha'melech, the gamri. On the other hand, it's not like he previously owned it or has specific designs on it, or maybe even if he doesn't show up, it's not like it's not his. Right. So it's a category in its own right, an interesting independent category. Go ahead. What is it comparing it to? It's Kenachri Shenasan Kemach Nisra Lasa, so he said. So that's where he quotes that for him, the equation isn't to the second half of the Mishnah, right? Or the end of the Mishnah, Gimel, it's the first half of the Mishnah. Correct? L'shaykh b'zeh lomar, im yesh kelek b'shal Yisrael, ki zu kula mishal nachri. Ela leis lakala, meina nikar, and maybe he won't even show up. Okay. By the way, interesting, just aga, before we get to the punchline, is that he tries to bring a raya from the Hemshech of the Gemara of Bilei Maritiyah. You have that part? Mimai Dabai Mine Durava Bhena Sarina. Yeah, so it's an interesting, just methodologically, is assuming because it comes after a situation of, Ba'iru Chamiru de B'nei Chela, that this is also like, the B'nei Chela. Interesting. Okay. Either way, Kim Chikain, Lekalik Shuri Mahida Arnuna, Mahida Osa Isana Manachri, because they're two different deep. In the end is where he mentions this ha'ara, that even for a different context, but lefikach leolam chayeves de b'shas lisha hidin schayva vayi shaita kata lo ivra milsa de shogayi, as opposed to isa shemitchilasa shogayi. I'm just suggesting that in light of that point in the Rajba, you also might want to be mechalek between isa and b'chora, because there's no equivalent of Shas Lisha Delo Ivrura when it comes to B'chor. Because that's just something I wanted to suggest. Okay. The main point, yeah.
You wouldn't say that the Kohen coming to this fellow would be similar?
Say that again?
That the Kohen coming to this fellow would be like a similar thing. The Kohen was Kohen from B'chor.
No, because I'm just saying there's no Shas Chiyu quite parallel to Lisha. On a legal level, I think. Okay, so let's leave B. Kasha, I'm going to have somebody on the computer because it may be a little bit louder. But thank you. Excellent. Tani, if you're going to read the next part, you have it? The Kasha Lok is the key part. I think people can hear you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The Kasha Lok. You can, Ladasa, you shall me.
Oh, so I was suggesting an answer a couple of minutes ago. Again, that there isn't a Shas Birur like Lisha, maybe that would answer the question. The Rajba himself, based on the Rajba's own heart, he himself doesn't answer this. That could show that he doesn't believe it. But I still think it's a chiluk, just like the Michtam's chiluk is a chiluk. But okay, either way, the question is, why isn't there a problem of Shami Malek? Now again, that could be a Dindrabbana. But I'm interested, in extrapolating from the thinking of it beyond. Go ahead, Tommy.
Yishatarit man lemalan divine marava spirala du emas anun of tura. Doma chayeves.
So, what is that, Bikitsur? Inokanami. Right?
Yeah.
He's saying, Inokanami, according to that line in Yerushalmi, that Isas Arnuna is Chayeves Shemini Malech, so maybe it won't show up. Who I did, Bechor? Now comes the key, Inami.
Has my time like given the Elo Mishbach Goel Behima, the Asi Vitafis, the Vlad, Gomer, then Behimasi, who have a Yad Goy Bamsa, the Kol Yad Goy Bamsa of Vladis Paterna Bechor.
What's the upshot of the Gemara? We're going to get back to it in a second. But the Gemara there says that what if you have, if you get Vlados, or an animal, right? Some Barzo. What's the story? So what's the story there?
Correct, because
Yad Goyben. So basically, what is the Raja? So Bahakanami, go ahead. So what's he saying, Tommy? It sounds like what he's saying, even though the application is in terms of Shemi Malik, which may be less fundamental, maybe not. But either way, the way that he's trying to suggest clearly is that the role of Akum in Bechor differs from that of Chala. And now when the Gemara uses the expression, right, in Choros and Abgimel and in Ezum Eshek and so on, Yad Akum Be'emsa, that we should take that very seriously. But it's not just a way of saying, you know, kol sheyesh bailus achum ein kan chiyuv. It may even be more than saying kol sheyesh bailus achum yesh kan ptur or yesh kan hafka. I'm speaking now, I'm not putting this in the Rajput now. Maybe that expression, at minimum that expression says that the role or the impact of Bailus Akum in Bechor is different than in Kal, for sure. Because it's talking about Glados, Tzon Barzel, and you know, and so on and so forth. He's applying it here as a culture game. Meaning the likelihood, the prospects of Shemi Malek, the Rajva was saying, are identical. Right? Just in one case, you know, you're Chayiv, and in the other case you're Patur. Right? Because in one case, you kind of have to assert, you know, the presence of Akum in order to be Patur. I'm sorry, in order to be you have to assert the presence of Akum to be Patur, sorry. And in the other case, if you don't completely reject the presence of Akum, then you're going to be Patur. Right? So that's what he's saying. Yad Goy Be'emtza is not a melitza for, you know, Yisrael's chayav, and in a way, it goes to, it's called Yisrael. I'm only wondering how far does this really go, right? Meaning, so the most minimum legal right, or even less than that, practically. I mean, that's something. Even the association is enough for Yad. Like, how far does Yad Goy Be'emtza go? Is it just like on the outer limits of any kind of formal, you know, right or kinyan? Or is it even more than that? Hard to say. But clearly, there's something fundamental. Now, in light of that, doesn't that give you a better explanation of why it is that Shutaf Goy is Potter and Shutfus, you know, Kishir and Chala is higher? And doesn't that give you a better explanation for any discrepancies in terms of our subyas separate from Kol? Or if Kol is understood in a more fundamental way, whether it's in terms of Matzim Salik or Matzim Salik, or Chiyuv and Ptur, per se? The answer is it does. So I'd like to suggest something else here, and that is going back a little bit to what the Rajba quotes from Ezer Meshek. Tosas here, right, raises an interesting question. Okay, this will try to finish off things. Sorry, short and lost a little time. Let's see. Jacob? Yeah, Tosas?
I didn't see the Tosas in the Gemara there.
I didn't see the Gemara? Did you see the, so you didn't see the Tosas then? On Vav Amud Aleph?
Yeah, I didn't I saw the Gemara. I didn't see the Tosfos on the fine Nizir Nesha.
Oh, okay. Did you see the Tosfos here on in Psachim Vamud Aleph?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll do that for now.
So he says, "Hasan Vatzimasah." Wait, how on picture read the Parak Nizir Nesha. Amr the Mekabot and Barzam in Anach. We have others streaming out before. Avagav Vatzimasah. Kol Anachi Bezuz Dik Amr Hasan. Kivin Di Lubay Anach Bezuz Iva Mashka.
Okay. Then we say that wait. What's the question? Go ahead.
If so, we're doing a case of someone who takes who's makalot and bars the and then we say there that even though matzah misalek, you're part of from mevachor. So then, in our case,
you would
why is matzah misalek?
Matzah misalek typically means you can buy him.
To be enough to be poter you.
Right. So, but usually matzah misalek means he's not really part of the equation. But there, matzah misalek, you know, you're still patur b'chavra. Correct. That's the problem.
Exactly. Yeah. In your tree, the shani hasam shemitchilah tzavim shom nachri v'kivan di bayin zuzi v'lamashkach shakal v'hem alo nafkim mirshuse. Since there was originally his, if he can't get money. Then it never left his reshus. Then it was always his. Alakshav hema shall Yisrael matimisalak lelanach bezuzi lo niach nesel reshusa. But in this case where behemos are always the Yisrael's, so then if he's matimisalak, it never left the Yisrael's reshus.
Okay, great. So what do you think about this answer? Obvious, mechudash, interesting.
I mean, I guess it makes sense because the threshold of Yad Nachi Ve'emtza may be defined by the amount, by how it started. So in this case, if you already owned it originally, that might have an impact on do we consider it to be Yad Nachi Ve'emtza? Especially with Bechor, where there's no inyan of Shach's Chiyuv, it might matter even more.
Great. So you're suggesting, if you read Tosis, you're saying maybe this is a special din in Bechor. So it wouldn't apply to other areas of halakha necessarily. Or no, maybe this is something which is more like universal. That's a question, exactly the question I'm interested in. So did you look at Tosfos Baal Bas or no? No, okay. Rabbi Kiveger on the spot here tells you to look at Tosfos Baal Bas. It's Ayin Baal Bas Nun Amud Aleph, Tosfos Dima Masr Kasam. I don't remember when I gave him our Makomos whether I told you to look at that specifically or I relied on everybody's Rabbi Kiveger curiosity. Anybody look up the Tosfos in Baal Bas? Eight times, did you? No? No one did? They say I shouldn't rely. No? Josh? What?
He talks about a case where if you're the buyer of an Eved and you sell him upon condition you get Tashmishin for 30 days, you only have the Kenyan Peros. So you have some Mechalas, in that case you have more of a Kenyan, because in Tfila you have a Kenyan Agoth, and you're now.
So this is the case, exactly. So what does Tosfos else to say about that? The Tosfos Baal Bas, that's exactly correct. So again, the Sugya Baal Bas, right? we'll wrap up in 2 more minutes. The Sugya Baal Bas says the following. You have it there? Mokhar Abdo? Mokhar Abdo Upasaki Moshi Shamshenu Lamed Yof. The guy sells an Eved. Eved Nuts used to be the owner. But before he sells them, he wants to squeeze out, 30 more days. Rav Meir Amar Rishon Yeshno B'Yom Yomayim V'Pnei Shu Tachtav Hasheni Eino B'Din Yom Yomayim Sheino Tachtav Kesav Kinen Peres Kinen Aguftam. Okay, then the Gemara has a sugya. So the Gemara says the following. In other words, you sold the Eved. So the Kinen Aguf now belongs to, not to Reuven anymore, but to Shimon. The question is, but you retain for the first 30 days the right of using, you're retaining the shibura, the kinderperos. So then what happens if you hit him, right? Does the special, you know, kula, let's say, of yom yomayim, right, which applies to an adam, does that apply to you or to the baal kinyan agof? Okay, that's the question. And the Gemara seems to say that if you hold kinyan peros kinyan agof, then you will be superior even to the kinyan agof guy, and the din of yom yomayim will apply to the moker, not to the lokeach. This is an issue which Tosis takes up, correct? Matan? Not so simple. Not so simple. Even if you hold kinyan peros kinyan agof, right, in competition with, you know, kinyan agof, you know, both, neither, you know, which one, it's a very complicated business. But Tosis here says different answers. One of the answers Tosis gives is inami. Delodami kinyan peros debal. Shelo hayalo the guf klum leolam the kinyan peros debo karavdo amenasu yishem shenu lamed yom shetchila haya kol shelo madayim lo yotza mitachas yado shaperos shelo וכאין זה מחלק גבי בהם הסרנונה בפרק כמה נפסחים. מה שיקשת עליה מבחורש שם מפורש. So basically, this is one of several answers. What's Tosa's answer? Tosa's saying on the objective question whether or not a clash between Kinyan Peros and Kinyan Aguf would be decided in favor of Kinyan Peros in terms of decisive ownership. As far as that's concerned, it's a complicated question. However, we're not dealing with the classic Kinyan Peros, like a Baal, you know, B'nichse Melug, because he never owned that. He comes to it, right, only with Kinyan Peros. But in the case of a mocher, right, the kinyan peros are a remnant, right, they're a continuation of his full bias. Well, what's the difference? Right? I mean, should that matter in general? Well, we talk about a quasi-bias of some sort. Right? Should it matter whether that's in a vacuum or whether or not it comes against the background and it's a retention of, you know, wider ownership or fuller ownership? Says Tosis, well, you see that from the Sugya of Bechor. From the Sugya of Bechor, in Bav Metzia, you see that the fact that the Nachri was previously the owner, Yad through Nachri Ben Yitzha, even though his presence, is there any more of this? Do we have? We've been dabbling a little bit of anyway, but since I don't have the, thank you very much. Since I don't have a mic, at least I'll be orthodox on the water. Of course, it's a very interesting question objectively, right, whether or not the previous, you know, this idea of, you know, this is a remnant of, and therefore continues to be associated with, and is therefore more expansive, that's a very fascinating legal doctrine, right? Is it a reasonable legal doctrine? Josh? Sure. Is it mukrach? Certainly not. Could you be mechalek? Thank you. Between different, you know, applications. Like it's an interesting phenomenon, phenomenologically, in other words, this is a very, thank you so much. This is a very interesting question. Right? But the point here is that is it a good ride? So number one, let's think for a moment about the different answers of halitosis. They give different answers to that question. Darushan will give different answers to Tosis's question here, too. It's also something to be weighed. But could you be mechalek between, let's say, for Tosis we deal with mas or shibud, on the one hand, you know, arnuna, and something like arnuna, right? And kinnagov? Sure. First of all, you might say that shibudim aren't a real kinyan, kinyan peros are. That depends on something we already discussed. Right, to what extent are shibudim kind of, you know, dine are, or kind of kinyan the mixas, like the famous language of the Ritva, the kiddushin daf yud gimel. Right? Even if you assume that shibudim are kinyanim, right, you still might say that they're unrelated to the previous full ownership. Whereas maybe kinyan peros are, you know, can be viewed as a remnant of, you know, wider ownership, even when you've stripped, you know, the main part, the kinyan agud part. So all I'm saying is, this is an interesting, objective question, whether previous full ownership, you know, impacts the quality of some sort of, you know, present quasi-ownership. And I think either in terms of the nature of the quasi-ownership, both the strength of it, the quality of it, and the nature of it, as well as the question of, you know, to what extent it was Bechlam Asayim Mana, who was a component connected to the original, as opposed to kind of a full substitute of the original. There are distinctions to be made, right? In either direction, between things like Shibudim and Kin and Peros and so on and so forth. However, I think there's another distinction that could be made. And that goes to the Rajpa's point. And it sounds to me like maybe the Rajpa would disagree with this Tosafot about Basra. Because it could very well be, and that's exactly what Jacob was saying, right? Am I quoting you correctly, Jacob? And that is that maybe this whole idea, you know, that being the previous owner somehow impacts, you know, whether we recognize this quasi state or not, maybe it isn't an objective kinyanin issue, even with, you know, the qualification of saying, well, you know, maybe for shibudim, maybe for kinyan peros, maybe for shutfut, you know. Maybe the real idea is that this whole notion that we find in Mamitia, in that sugya, there's a special din in Bechor, in Yad Akum Be'emtza. And that goes to what I was saying, which is it enough to say, oh, you know, there's a minimum kind of a, you know, kinyan here. There's still a formal connection. Maybe even if it's, you know, practically, or it's the most minimal formal connection. And maybe if it is just like an association, you know, something, obviously, that's some potential future, let's say, interventional, you know, impact. But even that might be enough to trigger the shame of Yad Akobet. Yeah, it sounds like you wanted to ask something. Yeah. Oh, okay. Thank you. That's sort of saving me from myself. I appreciate that. So just to sum up, just to say one final point, and that is that why should Bechor be so sensitive? Well, I guess finish on a point of Hashkafa. Why should Bechor be so sensitive to Yad Akum Be'emtza, you know, in any of its iterations, such that, again, it may even be more, it's not just that, oh, you need Bailus Yisrael. You need Bailus Kulo Shel Yisrael, or Bailus Akum at all, Kol Shehu is Maftiya. Right? And that, I think, is because the whole Yisod of Kedushas Bechor is really historically and conceptually, you know, bound up with Kedushas Yisrael and distinguishing the distinguishing of Kal Yisrael. Therefore, the whole idea of Yad Akum Be'emtza is something that is a special din in Bechor. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll try to just speak a couple of minutes tomorrow, and then we'll move on to the next issues.